Now for the show that's truly too hot to handle. It's The Melting Pat, and it starts right now.
You're listening to The Melting Pat. Here's your host, Pat Johnson.
Well, thank you, Jerome. Hello, my friends, and welcome to the show, The Melting Pat, the Next Level Network. How are you? How you doing today? It's warm, so that's good. I think it's going to rain again. That's no fun. But we do have some life things to tell you about, a couple of updates for you that we'll talk about for sure. Yeah, right into what the menu is today. I don't know. I feel like I take too long to tell you what's coming on the show, so I want to do that better. I want to do better at that. I will talk to you about, I went into the office this week as one of our collaboration days, and I will tell you why it was a complete waste of time. And also, people are gross. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk high school reunions. That came up, high school reunions, and whether or not you would go. I didn't ask you because I figured I wouldn't have time, and I was right to get all your answers. But I want to talk about it because it came up the other day, and I thought, hey, this could be fun. And if not, then yeah, it's fine. And then we were going to do it last week. We will talk about baseball pitcher injuries. And I don't know. A lot of guys are getting snippy about the pitch clock and blaming only that when this has been happening for a long time. So we will do that. And maybe we will have a season finale Flyers update from the captain. I've not gotten it yet. Let's check the old mailbox here and see if it's come in. It has not. I will text him later. And I will ask him if he's going to do it. He doesn't have to. He's, you know, he's a busy guy. He's got things going on. But I will ask him if the Flyers update will be a part of the show this week or not. And then we'll go from there. All right. All right. So, before we start, I know we've been here for a few minutes already. But before we play the song and then do the rest of the stuff, if you found me through Nick Howard's Twitch stream, welcome. Thank you for coming in. Follow him, by the way, at Nick Howard, NickHoward, the letter N, the number 7. Nick Howard, N7. N as in Nick. So there you go. Thank you very much. I got to meet him. I got to be a part of his Twitch chat the other day, thanks to our good friend Doug. And it was cool to hang out with. He seems like a homie. So welcome in if you came in from his Twitch stream. And shout out to Doug. So go follow Nick. Nick Howard, N7 on Twitch, and go follow Doug, our dear friend, ABT Silence as well. So there we go. Doug and I did talk about doing a co-stream one of these days, and maybe for my birthday. Doug, you in? Doug's going to listen on like Tuesday. So Doug, if you're in, if you want to do a co-stream, I don't know what we would do, but my birthday's in June. So maybe we could make that happen if I can find childcare. I think that's the, because then we could have all three of us or four of us and do a fun thing. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn here. But anyway, thank you. Welcome. And we're going to have some fun. Maybe. I hope we have fun. I hope you find a way to have fun. And if you don't like sports, then you skip the end of the show. And that's fine. All right. There we go. Got all that handled. Well done, me. Yes, up top to me for handling the business right out of the gate. So there we go with that. We have a new song today from a new friend. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I reached out on Threads and I said, somebody posted something and I said, hey, you know, I'll play your music on the show. I'll feature it. I'll review it if you want. I'll do whatever you want to do. Last week we had Corstellation, who left me a nice message, by the way, with the speak pipe thing on that widget on my website. So if you want to leave me a message, you may do so at themeltingpat.com. There's a contact page. Do all those things. I won't play it on the show because it was just a quick, you know, thank you very much. Have a good day, which was just absolutely, I did not expect it. Number one, I never expect anything to keep working. And so that was a surprise that it still worked. And it was just a night, like it was absolutely lovely that she left. She took the time, I don't know, 10 seconds out of her day to leave me a nice message. And that was very sweet. So thank you very much to Court Lee on that one. That's where I got screwed up saying her name, by the way. It's Corstellation, but her email thing says Court Lee. So I got all twisted up. So thanks for not being mad that I can't say your name. So anyway, yeah, on Threads, I said, hey, I can play your songs. And two people reached out. Corstellation was one. Today, we have a song from Jack Adamant. And you can find more from him at jackadamant.com. That's JACKADAMANT.com. Also on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Bandcamp, all the things. Did I get all the stuff? I hope so. JackAdamant.com. That's the important part. This is his latest. He released a cover of Friday, We're in Love. Friday, I'm in Love. I don't know song titles, apparently. But we can't play covers on this show because then I have to pay The Cure and whoever else is involved there. But it's a lovely cover. Go check it out on his Bandcamp. And we are going to play his song Stuck and Paralyzed. Again, Jack Adamant. I believe Jack is our first Swedish friend of the show, which is very fun. We're just dotting the globe around here. So I hope you enjoy this. It's a fun little guitar riff that we'll get to sing together in a minute. But again, Jack Adamant, his latest, Stuck and Paralyzed. It's the Melting Pat. We're coming right back.
I'm mixing a bar, you're like a movie star. We're dancing in dark hair. Lost in the crowd, exhausted from trying to find my way home. You slipped away, you thought I wished to stay. You said it was too late. When you're back to the room, I thought I was doomed. By the scent of my still perfume. Remembering now as time goes by, stuck and paralyzed, I stand staring you through the cab window's pane. He's guiding the hand, knows my path. I stumble for you, no pause or cue. My conscience was not on my side. The reason I'm clear, why I linger. I met you in a bar, you like a movie star. We're dancing without a care. Lost in the crowd, existing for trying to find my way home. Trying to find my way home. Trying to find my way home.
And there you have it, our new friend, Jack Adamant, Stuck and Paralyzed. I realized I didn't listen to the song during the break like I usually do because I got to go to lunch here. But I, so I don't know if I matched the energy of the ending of the song with how I came in, but it's going to be fine. It's the Melting Pat, the next level network. Yes. I think I was a little off. I got a frog in my throat, apparently, but I had fun with that. I think that's the most important part of the mouth riff, is that I have fun. It doesn't have to be technically correct, even though, according to our friend Hermes, that is the best kind of correct. So it doesn't have to be technical. I can neither play guitar technically well or make guitar noises with my mouth technically well. But I think I had fun. No, not I think I had fun. I know I had fun. And I think we got close. So I think what I did, though, is I can't go that high, as you know. And I kind of mashed the parts of the little riff together. And I think that's where we kind of got hung up. So anyway, Jack Adamant. I'm sorry. Jack's not going to want to hear this. JackAdamant.com for more from him. Tell him Pat sent you. And he'll go, I don't know who that is. And then you'll tell him, and he'll go, wow, that guy's weird. And he'll block me on all the things. So there we go. Mission accomplished? I don't know. Stuck and Paralyzed is the name of the song. Jesus. And I love, like I said, if I can sing like a part of your song with my face and make that a part of the show, a part of like playing the song on the show, I think that's great. And yeah, so there we go. We had fun, right? Was that fun? JackAdamant.com. Jack Adamant, Stuck and Paralyzed. Thank you, my new friend. I'm sorry if I ruined the song. No, it was fine, right? We had fun. We had a great time. We had fun. That's Angry Dad on Vacation, insisting everyone needs to have fun. There we go. That's one of my favorite little characters. And there we are. We did it. Thank you very much, everybody. And great work, team. Great job, everyone. Clap it up. Great job. Great job, everybody. We did a great job. Okay, let's take a break. Let's take a timeout. And when we come back, I will tell you about, well, no time will pass for you, but I got to go do stuff. So I will tell you about some issues with the weather that we had at the house and the issues I had going into the office on Tuesday. So we will do that right after this. Pause. Hey, we're back. Look at that. No time passed for you at all. Maybe a second or two. Hold on. We got to move around here. There we go. Had to move the microphone. You might hear some noises. It'll be fine. Everything is going to be just fine. There we go. All right. So the other day we had some weather. Ooh, looking like we might have some weather. Things a little more complicated than they seemed at first. There we go. It's a joke for one of you. So we had some wind. We had some rain. And it turns out sometime in the middle of the night, we lost part of the back fence. We got a big fence out back because guy next door is being a jerk and didn't want anyone to park there, and mission accomplished. But, you know, we lost a piece of the fence. Just, we didn't lose it. It's still back there. It's just no longer attached. And now there's a, you know, 2-3 foot hole or whatever, or a piece missing. And we're waiting on a guy to come fix it. So it's actually funny because I was about to reach out to a buddy and who is a contractor and say, hey, can you help me fix the fence out front? We've lost some of the pieces from the gate and things are just a little off. So I was going to reach out and say, hey, can you come down and take a look at it? And then like that same day is when I noticed, hey, by the way, the back fence is also, you know, needs some repair. And so, yeah, I sent him some pictures and they're going to come down as soon as they can, I hope. I did reach out to the guy who built it and he said, oh, I'll be there tomorrow. That was 6 days ago. And I've heard nothing since, so, or 5 days, however many days ago it was, have heard nothing since. So, fingers crossed, this works out. It's not a huge deal. I mean, we live in a safe enough neighborhood where nobody's going to try to break in or whatever. I'm thankful this didn't happen 2 years ago when we had the psycho living next door. And, yeah, because that would have caused some problems for sure. And so I'm grateful that didn't happen. I'm grateful nobody got hurt. Nobody was out there. I'm thankful it didn't fall on my neighbor's car, the other side. And even though she said she wouldn't care because her car's paid off, I would still feel bad that my fence damaged her car. And so, yeah, I mean, like I said, nobody got hurt. Nothing was really, you know, damaged beyond repair, meaning no one else's stuff got busted up or whatever. It's just now we have a little piece of the fence that's not there anymore, which is a bummer. But, you know, hey. We'll get it figured out. We'll get it taken care of. I'll get somebody down here to fix it. I have neither the time nor, I know I screwed that up earlier, neither the time nor the dexterity to do what is needed to get this fixed. We got all the pieces. I think we have all the pieces. I have the tools. I just don't have the time or the coordination to figure that out. So we hope that it'll get taken care of soon. I'll let you know. But if you're a contractor and you have nothing to do in the next few days, let me know and come down and hang out with us and fix my fences for me. It was just funny though, because like I was about to reach out because we had an issue with the front fence. We're losing some pieces because it was put together in a weird way. Anyway, and so like that day, I was like, huh, all right. And I wasn't even mad because like we've had issues with the gate and the fence and the things and the whatnots. And so I was just like, yeah, of course. Like, that makes sense. It would, yeah. I was like, all right. I went out there. I picked up the piece. I propped it up against the house there. And I was just like, all right. You know, what am I going to do? Well, I can sit here and be mad about it, or I can just be like, all right, I took some steps to hopefully get it fixed soon, and now we just got to wait and hope that nothing happens in the interim. So there we go. So yeah, that's so we got to deal with that. We got to figure that out. Like I said, I haven't heard from anyone else. So if you're a contractor or a handy person, then let me know, because I don't have the time to handle the project. I just don't. I've talked about this on the show before. Like the time it would take me to figure out what to do and get it done, and then I wouldn't do it correctly, I'm sure, because I don't know what I'm doing. I have no problem saving that time and spending the money to have someone who knows what they're doing come out and fix the thing. So this isn't really a call for help. I've reached out to people, but you know, if I don't hear from them or whatever, and if you're not busy and want to come hang out with us and fix my fences, that'd be great. No, I mean, it'll be fine. Probably, like I said, nobody got hurt, so I'm happy about that. But yeah, just kind of like, all right. So anyway, so that was last week. That happened, I think, the day I recorded the show, or I guess the night before. And I didn't even, because I had to record and edit the show in one day last week, which I don't recommend doing for me or for you if you do a show. And so I didn't even notice until after the show, until I was done. So that sucked. But this week was one of the office days. So my job, once a month, I go into the office. I work from home every other day. But once a month, we go into the office for what they call collaboration days. We talked about that. So what this means to me, and as it was explained to me in December or January, is, hey, it means we're going to have meetings with the unit because everybody will be there, or we're going to have trainings because they're easier to do in person. I'm like, okay, not my favorite thing, but fine, sure, whatever you want to do. And so usually we'll have a meeting and we'll talk about things and we'll do a training and we'll do all the things that we need to do that are easier to do when everyone's in the same room. Okay, so those are collaboration days. Well, this week, we did none of that. Hold on, I got to take a call. I will be right back. Let me handle this, all right? All right. Okay, so collaboration days, usually trainings, meetings. So this week, I go in and I'm expecting like, hey, we're going to have a meeting, which also means I don't get a lot of my work done. Like, that's just what's going to happen. Because like, I get way more work done, as I say this doing the show, I get way more work done at home because nobody's bugging me to go into the conference room or go into this or go do that or sit through this or whatever. And so I can just do my stuff, do my personal stuff, do my work stuff, do laundry, do whatever, and get all my things done. And so I'm like, okay, I'm preparing to not do all of my work because we're going to have meetings or trainings. And we did not. We did not have that. And it was just a normal day that I could have worked from home. It was a complete waste. I know they have this monthly requirement, but if you're going to have us all in there, then make it worth it. Make it worth us coming in and don't just have us work a normal day in the office that we could have worked at home, because that was not the point of this arrangement. The point of the arrangement for teleworkers to come into the office once a month was to do these collaborations and, you know, buzzwords, right? And handle business that is easier to handle in person. And none of that happened. And so it was just a complete waste of a day. I wasted all the time and all the traveling, commuting, whatever. Just, I could have done that at home without commuting, without dealing with smelly people on the train. And it bothered me because I, like, the whole point was collaboration, meetings, trainings, and we just didn't do that. And I didn't understand why that happened, but all right, we got that out. We're good. First of all, before I got to work, there was a shouting match on the train at the other end of the car. I don't know what they were shouting about, but why are you shouting at 7 a.m.? It was weird. And then on the way home, some bad vibes about people. Nothing happened, but it just felt weird, right? Like something's about to go down. Nothing happened, thankfully. It did take me, however, 90 minutes to get home when it usually takes me less than an hour. So that sucked. And also, don't spit on the train. Don't spit, like, it's gross. Don't do that. Saw a kid do it 3 times and they were on the subway and it was gross. Don't spit on the train. Okay. During the workday, so this is like, I got in at like 7:50 and I started at 8. So I sit down, I'm logging in, I'm getting all my stuff plugged in. So it's about 8:30 and I don't know all of the details. So it's me, I'm in one desk in a quad of desks. And then across the aisle is another quad of desks, and a woman is sitting there. And I overhear it. I have my headphones in because I'm waiting for a phone call. And so I'm like half listening, waiting for this. And then I'm on hold and I'm half listening to what's going on behind me. And the office manager walked up and said, hey, so for whatever reason, I guess I should let you know this first. For whatever reason, our office chairs, our desk chairs, don't have arms. And you can only see, you're only supposed to sit in a chair with arms if you're a supervisor. So regular workers on the floor, as they say, are not allowed and not supposed to have a chair with arms unless you have a medical accommodation, which means you got to fill out a form and go to HR and do all that. It's really dumb. And I know, like, saying it out loud, it sounds really stupid, but I work for a bureaucratic agency, so it's just how it goes. And so the office manager walked by and noticed that this woman had a chair with arms. And she's like, hey, you're not allowed to have a chair with arms. And the worker's like, well, I've had this chair. I've been here for 3 years in this exact spot, and no one's ever said anything. I've talked to my supervisor. I was like, hey, I use this chair, and nobody's had a problem with it, so I don't know what the big deal is. And the office manager's like, well, you're not supposed to have this chair, so I'm going to get you another chair. So the office manager wheels another chair without arms, and the worker's like, oh, it's the same exact chair, just has arms. And they're like, well, I know, but you're not supposed to have it. And the worker was like, look, this sounds like an issue for my supervisor and the union to talk about. So can we have that conversation? Because what's going on? This feels like we need to have more people here. And so office manager goes and gets the district boss who was in that day. And the district boss made a big announcement like, hey, you're not supposed to have these chairs on the floor. These are supervisor chairs and you're not supposed to have them. And I don't want to pull them off the floor because they're supervisor chairs and workers aren't supposed to sit in them. And the reason they're here is because the supervisors aren't here to sit in the chairs. And that's why you have those chairs. And I'm just sitting there going, okay, what the hell's the point? Look, I understand, like, that's the rule or whatever. Whoever came up with the, workers aren't supposed to have arms on their chairs, whatever. I don't really understand that part of it. I've never understood that little rule. But it was the dumbest argument that had no resolution, because one side was like, hey, I've used this chair for 3 years and no one said anything until today. And the other side was, you're just not allowed to have that specific chair because it has arms and you're not a supervisor. And I just couldn't figure out what the big deal was. Like, I know, like, that's the whatever the policy procedure of the office is. Like, I get that part. But, like, why did you have to, it seemed, randomly talk to this person and say, hey, you either have to get a new chair or get a medical accommodation form. And she's like, hey, go talk to my supervisor. She and I have already had this conversation. And then it was even worse that the worker supervisor came over like 15 minutes later. And she was like, hey, the worker was like, hey, did they talk to you about this? Because I just had a whole spat with two people. And the supervisor was like, no, nobody talked to me. And I've been in my office for an hour. And so it was just so, like, it was the weirdest thing. Because it was like, got a little heated because it's a dumb thing. Like, I've been in this spot for 3 years and no one said a thing about my chair. And now all of a sudden it's a problem when we have a lot of work to do and you're interrupting me for 20 minutes to yell about me about this chair. And it was just so dumb. And I don't know. Look, there's probably a procedure that I haven't needed to look at. And I don't know what the exact verbiage is about what's good and what's not good. But, you know, it was just seemed like a random thing, like they were just walking by and noticed and said, oh no, we have to fix that for some reason because you can't have that because you don't have the right letters after your name. And it was just so, it was so dumb. Like, all the things that we have to worry about on the job, like things we have to take care of, issues that need to be resolved, like work related stuff that needs to be handled, and you decided to take 20 minutes out of your day to lecture this person without really giving them information, just like, no, you can't have that because you're not allowed to. And it was just like, oh my God, it was so strange. And it reminded me how strange the places I work where it's just like, hey, why do we do this way? Oh, because we just do, even though it might not be the best way to do things. Although they always say work smart, not hard, and then do the dumbest thing. And then spend 20 minutes lecturing someone about a chair that caused zero problems before. Maybe the bigwigs from downtown were coming in that day. They didn't tell us. So maybe that was it. But man, just like, everybody relax, okay? Can we do that? I just don't understand why, like, randomly that day, and if I knew the person, I didn't really know the worker. If I did, I would have asked, like, hey, what the hell was that about? Have they talked to you before? But the way it sounded, it seemed like they had not mentioned any issue with the chair before, and now all of a sudden it was a problem for some reason. And it was just a very, really strange start to the day after the shouting match on the L, and then the chair argument, and then the end of the day took forever to get home, and everybody smelled bad, and everybody was just being ridiculous, and it's all capped off by the fact that I shouldn't have had to go in at all, because the whole point of working in the office is for collaboration, and we just did our normal stuff, and it was just so... I was flabbergasted and flummoxed and honestly a little pissed off at the end of the day, because I was just like, why did I... That was a complete waste of the commute time and getting up 2 hours earlier and having to do that and taking 90 minutes plus to get home when normally I could be done at 4 and upstairs by 4:15. And it's just so... I'm just annoyed. I'm bothered. And it was just a really weird day. And like, of course, that would be the day that there's an argument over a chair. And I don't know. I don't know the resolution. I don't really know if anything happened. As far as I noticed yesterday, the same chair was still there and the person was still using it. You know what they're probably going to do? They're going to wait until that worker leaves and they're going to switch her chairs. I think that's what they're going to do, because they've already, now they know it. And they're like, oh, she gave us attitude when she's not supposed to have this chair. I think what they're going to do is, I think, you know, she came in Thursday and found a chair with no arms. And that's going to cause a whole new issue. And part of me wishes I was there to hear that fallout. Although if it's when I go in next month, I'll ask her and I'll update you about the chair saga. Is this more or less exciting than the soap bandit story from last year, from a couple years ago, where someone was stealing the soap out of the bathrooms in the office? Is the chair saga better or worse than that? Let me know. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about high school reunions. Should you go? Would you go? Should I go? Does anybody care about these anymore? We'll try to cover all of that and maybe a little more right after this. Okay, unpause, and we are back. No, I'm not doing this on a different day. That would be stupid. Why would I sound different? No, I am. you know, yesterday got away from me when I was doing the show, and now I got to, you pick it up. See, that's why I start recording on like Tuesday or Wednesday. Because then if something goes wrong, if I screw up or something crashes or if work gets in the way like it did the other day, I have time to finish the show or fix a mistake or whatever. So, I'm doing it. So if I sound very different, it's because, well, it's a different day and I have a 2-year-old who's dealing with some stuff. So so I'm sorry if this doesn't hit you as well as the other one did, but it'll be fine. All right. So let's do this. High school reunions. So this came up on Threads the other day. And somebody's like, oh, high school reunions, would you go? How do we feel about this? What do we think about high school reunions? And so that gave me the opportunity to introduce people to the Pat is Dead lore. Because when I was in college, I graduated high school 2006. In 2008, I'm in college and I get a phone call from my mom. It's like October 2008. And I get a phone call from my mom. And she is panicked. I did an episode about this a couple years ago. But she is panicked because my high school had sent a letter, because I went to a Catholic school. And every November 2nd, they had, early November, to celebrate the Feast of All Souls. They had a mass to celebrate and remember and honor all of the people in the community who passed away the previous year. So my mother gets a letter from my high school saying, you are warmly invited to this memorial mass to honor those who have gone to God. It's, you know what? We've already done this, but this is actually really funny. Okay. So during November, the month of Holy Souls, we remember our loved ones who have gone to God. Father Judge High School warmly invites you to attend a memorial mass for me. And it's my name in the letter, and it's a whole thing. So my mom, I guess maybe she hadn't heard from me in a couple days or whatever. So she gets this letter and she calls me in an absolute panic. And she's like, hey, what happened? Are you okay? What's going on? I'm like, yeah, what's up? So she sent me the letter. It's actually in my office right now. And we talked about it on the radio show I did at the time. I made an episode of the podcast about it. And it was just, I don't know why. Do I need to dive into it again? No, but it's a really funny thing that they, for years, it took them like 2 or 3 years to fix their mistake, by the way. So I've wondered two things over the years. How did they screw that up? And if I got the letter by mistake, then maybe someone whose kid actually passed away, or uncle or whoever, if they, were a graduate already or an older person, whatever. So someone else didn't get an invite and I did instead. I don't know what happened, but So I got to share that story, first with you here, if you're new to the show, and with a new audience of people on Threads to say, hey, my high school thought I was dead in 2008, and they sent this letter, and everybody was like, wow, that's nuts. And I found out that other people also got that. Like, other people in other places across the country also had that issue where their high schools thought they were dead and sent a letter like, hey, sorry, your kid died, RIP, come to this mass and hang out with us. And it was just so, man, like, who's screwing that up? Who is messing that up? Or if it's like a ploy to get people out, that's the worst way to get somebody out to do something, is to say, hey, by the way, your kid died. It's like, what the hell? So, yeah, I got to introduce people to that, and that's always fun. But to the larger point of high school reunions, are they even a big thing anymore? Like, when I was a kid, I remember my mom and dad talking about theirs and going to theirs. They graduated high school years ago. I won't out them for how old they are. But I did that to my sister once on my live show, and she got really upset with me. So I'll never do it again unless you say it's okay. So I remember, my mom and dad talking about it, going to theirs. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, you didn't stay in touch with these people and you want to get back together, see how everybody's doing. All right, cool, man. But we have Facebook and Instagram and things of that nature now. So it's like the whole point I can surmise about a reunion is you go and you talk to people you haven't talked to and you haven't seen each other in a long time. And so it's like, oh, what have you been up to? What have you been doing for the last whatever number of years? But we kind of don't have that anymore. Like, we don't need that, because if we want to, if we're all on, whatever platform, we can figure out what everybody's doing and not have to reach out and interact if we don't want to, right? Like, oh, I didn't really get along with this guy, but, just curious, see what they're up to. And then you go check their Facebook page, and because it's probably all public, and then you move on with your day, right? So it's just, I don't know. I feel like the I don't know what everyone's up to, let's all get back together every 5-10 years, it's not there anymore. We can all see that every day. You wouldn't need to have a big party to get together and drink. You could just do that. You can organize that separately and not have to spend a bunch of money and worry about people coordinating. Like, oh, we're doing it at this place and do this. You could just be like, hey, we're going to go here. Do you want to hang out? And they say yes or no, or they don't answer. And then that's that. I do wonder, though, because the whole, I don't know if this is true, but I'm thinking of the Family Guy when Peter goes to his reunion and he doesn't want to let his old classmates know that he just like works at a brewery. And so he's like, I'm going to dress up in a spacesuit, and I'm going to be a space cowboy. It's going to be great. And then that's the one where he meets Tom Brady and he joins the Patriots, that episode. And so I wonder if people still lie about stuff. Like, do you still rent the Ferrari and rent the arm candy models to come with you and pretend to be your date or whatever? Or, because people can see it, like, if you're on Instagram or Facebook, they can see what you're really up to. And then I just imagine, like, you roll up with the Ferrari and the gold chains and the fancy suit and the ladies and the whatever. And I just wonder if that still happens and how that goes over. But honestly, the idea of a high school reunion just seems like a waste of time to me. If we weren't friends in high school, we're probably not going to be friends as adults. And that's fine. And if we were friends in high school, but we didn't keep in touch, again, I graduated high school, we had ways to connect with each other and stay in touch with each other. And if we did not, there might be a reason for that. Like, there might be a reason why you and I don't want to talk to each other. Or maybe there isn't. Maybe we're just not meant to be connected. Maybe our lives just go in different ways and we're not supposed to be connected and talk to each other all the time. And guess what? That's fine. That's okay with me. I don't mind that if we want to get together and somebody reaches out and says, hey, Pat, we're going to get together with these people. You show me who's going, I'll make a decision. But if you just say, hey, we're going to have a reunion class of 2006, I'm just going to be like, you know what? I'm good. I had friends in high school, but it was like, I'm friends with this guy who's in this group, and I'm friends with this guy who's in that group. And then I was like that in college too, where it's like, well, I'm friends with him over here, and then he's got his group, and I'm friends with them over there, and they got their groups. And I'm just kind of like the guy floating around, just kind of being there, and everybody's like, oh, hey, Pat, how's it going? Like, I'm not ostracized or shunned, but, it's not really, I don't know, man. And, like, big fancy to-dos aren't my thing anyway, so it just doesn't seem like a thing I would do. But I did get to introduce a new brand of people to the Pat is Dead lore again, so that was fun. But I, it just doesn't seem like something I want to do. I just never saw an interest in it. Like, if we're not connected in some way, in the myriad of ways we can be connected, then there's a reason, meaning we don't like each other, or there's not, and I'm not really that invested in making that connection or reattaching that connection. It's just not something I'm interested in doing. Honestly, though, I'd rather have a party with you guys, like friends of the show. I'd rather have a party with all of you. Can we make that happen? Can we do like a Melting Pat meetup or something like that? Can we make that a thing? I don't know. I think that could be really fun, right? Could that be fun? Like all the people who've been on the show, or like people I've interviewed, and people who listen to the show, we could all hang out together and we can all see how awkward I am in real life. Does that sound like fun? Can we make it happen? No? Does that not? Okay. I thought it might be fun now that I'm talking through it and realizing what that would exactly entail. It would probably be really awkward for me more than anything else, and maybe for you, because I'm not like... I'm not the life of the party kind of guy. You know, I'm not too fast, too furious. Okay, that's not me. Drunk uncle there for you. I don't know. High school reunions, not my thing. What do you think? Have you gone to, I assume most people listening are in their 20s or 30s or 40s. Have you gone to a high school reunion of yours? And if not, would you go? Or, no, well, maybe. Okay, have you gone, yes or no? And if not, would you consider going, or have you just closed that door completely like I have? Let me know. All right. And if we can get together and have a Melting Pat meetup or something like that, I would like to do that. Unfortunately, it'd probably be local to me, and not a lot of you are local to me. So that's unfortunate. But if we want to hang out, maybe go bowling or something, or just go get drunk somewhere, that would be fine too. Those are the options. We either go bowling or we just go get drunk in somebody's yard somewhere. Those are the options. All right. For a Melting Pat meetup, can we make that happen? Yes? No? All right. Let's take a break. We will take a timeout. We will come right back. Why was that not loud enough? Let's try again. There you go. Closer to the microphone. Well, I don't know why I had to. That was for me, not for you. All right. Let's take a break. We're going to do sports on the other side. So if you don't like sports, mainly it's baseball. So if you don't like that, then you can go. And I thank you for being here. And also the captain, I just texted the captain. He will send the update tonight, so it'll be in the show by the time you hear it. So we got those two things, and then that's that. So if you hate sports, thanks for coming. I'll talk to you soon. Everybody else, we're going to pause and do some baseball talk, and then the captain right after this. Okay, we unpaused. We are back again. Unpaused, that dude. If you do not like sports, specifically, if you don't like baseball and you don't care for the Flyers, I suppose, then this is the end of the road for you. In case you didn't end the show when I said a minute ago, goodbye. Thank you for being here. And check out Jack Adamant on Bandcamp and tell him I sent you, and he'll go, all right, that sounds good. There we go. So there you go. Thank you. Go have a good day. Let's talk some baseball. Everybody else, let's talk about baseball. So if you don't know, first of all, let's do this real quick. I misspoke last week. Ippe Mizuhara, Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter, he did not lose $400 million. He lost $40 million. That's my bad. I got caught up in something, and the numbers were off. So that's still a lot of money to lose in 3 years. $40 million is still a lot. So not great. Also, you know who's not great? Angel Hernandez. And how do you know? Angel Hernandez is a baseball umpire. And how do you know he's bad? Because everybody knows his name. If he was just doing his job, not making too many big mistakes, you wouldn't know his name. But because he screws up a lot, and he actually filed a lawsuit a few years ago saying that the league was racist because they weren't including him in the World Series. So they said, oh, okay. And they reviewed his work with him and determined, hey, these are all the calls you missed. This is why you're not in the World Series. And so there you go. So I had to sneeze. I laughed and then I had to sneeze. That's going to sound weird. Don't worry, I won't leave the sneeze in there. It'll be fine. But anyway, yeah, he's bad and he's getting worse. And the fact that a lot of people know his name is not good. Let me go further. The fact that my wife, who only kind of watches baseball with me, knows who Angel Hernandez is not good. So there we go. Just a little, addition to what we're talking about today. Nothing to do with rules or anything. But, well, I guess a little bit. So if you don't realize, if you're not a baseball fan, you probably didn't stick around. But if you are, you've noticed, well, I don't know, a lot of pitchers are getting hurt this year. A lot of pitchers are having elbow injuries, elbow issues. They have to either miss some time and then come back later or have season-ending surgery. Either way, it's not good. A lot of pitchers are injuring their elbows this season and more than usual, and it's a cause for concern. And so a lot of people are blaming the pitch clock because it's easy, because that's a new thing. Hey, well, we didn't have this before, and now guys are getting hurt. Here's the thing, though. Guys get hurt all the time. A pitcher blowing out his elbow is not new. Like, this didn't just start happening in 2023. It's not a brand new thing. It's not only the clock. I won't say, because I'm not a doctor. I'm not in the game. I'm not there. I don't actually do the things. But it's not only the clock. Could pitchers now having to learn to work faster, could that contribute to getting injured? Sure. I will ride with you on that. I am not going to solely put the blame on the pitch clock because that's not fair and it's not correct. But what guys have been doing for a number of years is they're just going max effort on every pitch. And so I read this the other day where it was either a doctor who's done a lot of these arm surgeries or a former pitcher or something like that who said, guys back in the day used to grip the baseball when they were pitching, used to grip the ball so like firmly but softly in a way that if it was an egg, it would not crack. And so that's how guys were able to, because I mean, okay, let's be real. The human arm is not meant, as I'm doing the motion, no one can see, is not meant to cock back and then release. It's not the pitching motion is not a natural motion for your arm. And so you throw 180, 200 innings a year for 10 years, you're going to have problems, right? You throw 20 innings at max effort, you're going to have problems. So just the motion itself is inherently bad for your elbow. All right. So let's not forget about that part. But I would say like the max effort part and not just throwing the ball as hard as you can every time, even though that is also a problem, right? Throwing the ball as hard as you can 30 times a game is not going to help your arm. It's not going to, your arm's going to wear down faster because you're throwing the ball as hard as you can, gripping it as tight as you can, and winging it in there every time out. And so in addition, so that plus gripping the ball tighter than guys used to. So you're engaging more muscles in your arm when you throw a ball. Do I have a ball around here? Can I demonstrate this for myself? I do. Oh, it's in the other room. Wait, hold on. No, it's in. I thought I had one at my desk. I do not. Not that you could see this, but when guys used to pitch, they used to have the grip like it was firm but soft. Like I said, or like that doctor said, they would grip it in a way that it was an egg. It would not crack. And so now guys are. And so you weren't engaging all of your forearm muscles and all the muscles that you have in your arm. They're not all being engaged on every pitch. And so that led to a little bit less wear and tear on your arm, which is good. You could pitch longer, have a longer career, make more money, and do all that. But now they're gripping the ball a heck of a lot tighter, meaning they're using and they're engaging more muscles in their arm every time they throw the ball. And so you're weakening those muscles and those tendons and those whatevers in your arm. I'm sure there's more things in your arm. Again, I'm not a doctor. But you're weakening the arm muscles faster. So you're getting tired faster. And that's how you're going to get hurt. You're going to get tired. You're going to keep throwing, keep doing the thing. And then you're going to get hurt. And so then all of a sudden, you're on the shelf for a year because you blew out your elbow. Because for the last 2.5 years, you've been gripping the ball as hard as you can and throwing it as hard as you can. And so that's a problem. They're going all in with every pitch. So they pitch fewer innings per game. They blow out their arms. And the careers are shorter, and it's just a whole thing, and you can't just blame the clock. And I just don't, like, I understand something has changed, and now we're having more injuries than we had before. Okay, look, I get it. But one of the things that has also changed is how guys are actually pitching. It has now become, like, the finesse pitcher, like a Greg Maddux, that those guys are gone and have been gone for several years. And we can go back even Hold on one second. I'm going to look this guy up. So we can go back to 2006 and a guy named Joel Zumaya, who played for the Tigers. And this was a guy who one of the first guys, maybe give him another year. Let's go 2007, 2008. All right. I didn't look up his whole injury history, but, he was a guy who would come out of the bullpen and just fire away 100 miles an hour every pitch, just winging it in there. And it was fun to see. Like, it's fun to watch a guy come in here and wing the ball at 100 miles an hour. That's fun to watch as a fan. But then you realize, hey, wait a minute. Where did that guy go? Oh, he got hurt again. Every few weeks, you'd be like, oh, he got hurt. Elbow soreness. Shoulder soreness. Oh, he had to go get surgery on his elbow. Oh, well, that's what happens when you're ringing the ball in 100 miles an hour 30 times a day for a week. Then that's a problem. You're engaging more of your arm. Now, I don't know about Joel Soumaya's grip specifically, but I do know that he was winging it in there every pitch when not a lot of guys at that time were doing that. Right back in the day, it was like Billy Wagner threw 100 and no one else really did. And then Aroldis Chapman came along and he's throwing 102, 103, and no one else really did. And now, a few years later, everybody's throwing 100 miles an hour. Starters, relievers, random guys, anybody. They're just coming out here, max effort all the time, throw 100 miles an hour, and we'll be fine. We'll figure it out. Jose Alvarado does it for the Phillies, right? Do you know where it's going to go every time? No, but it's going to be fast. It's going to be hard, and guys are probably not going to hit it, right? That the new philosophy is, hey, just throw it as hard as you can every time. We'll worry about the rest later. And so now you don't have a guy who can give you 200 innings every year or, more than that, a guy who can go 6-7 innings a game because these starters are maxing out their effort every single time. And so they're going five innings, 5 2/3, 5 and whatever. And you have to have more guys in the bullpen who are just going to trot out, throw 100 miles an hour, maybe go an inning. And so you got to use four pitchers when back in the day you used one or two. Because the philosophy has changed in such a way that a guy who doesn't throw 100 miles an hour might get overlooked. Because it's like, nope, we're looking at velocity, we're looking at max effort, we're looking at this and that. And a guy who can spot his pitches is going to be more rare in baseball because the focus is on velocity and throwing as hard as you can and doing all that. The problem is these guys are wearing down way faster, much earlier, much faster, much sooner, because now they're engaging more muscles in their arm to grip the ball. And when they're throwing the ball as hard as they can, they're weakening their elbow way faster, much quicker than they would if they were focusing on locating the pitches. It's aiming, not, or pitching versus throwing, right? A lot of guys now, they just go out and throw 100 miles an hour. Where's it going to go? I don't know. Like Charlie Sheen, Rick Vaughn. And then let's protect kayfabe here, Pat. Like Rick Vaughn in Major League, right? You just swing it up there and see what happens. And, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, right? They tape their cardboard cutout back together because he hit it so many times. So that's kind of like the new thing. I mean, that movie came out in 1989, and now everybody's Rick Vaughn. The problem is those guys are wearing down. And so these pitchers that you like to see, the Spencer Striders, who just went out for the year, the Shane Biebers in Cleveland just went out for the year a few weeks ago. Who's the guy in the Marlins? What's that guy's last name? I'm bad with this. I'm sorry. But it's the guys who come out and you're like, wow, like that's a marquee guy and a matchup that I want to see during the day. Like I'll put that on while I'm at work. If they're pitching in the afternoon, let's put that on. Let's put the game on. Let's see this guy pitch. Well, you can't because he's out for the year, which sucks as a fan because guys like that are very exciting to watch. Unfortunately, with this new philosophy of let's just throw as hard as you can every single time, we'll worry about the rest later. Sure, you only go five innings, but you threw as hard as you could, and you threw, half your pitches were more than 100 miles an hour. That's what we want to see. And again, I do like it. It's fun to watch guys throw 100 miles an hour. But when every guy does it, and when you know the consequence of that is you're not going to see that guy as often, it's less fun, right? When Billy Wagner would come out, He was a closer, so he would go an inning a day for a couple days at a time. He'd be like, oh man, here comes this guy winging it in 98 to 100 every time. This is fun. Like, this is great. And he protected himself in a way where he had a pretty decent career, like a long, decent career. And is he a Hall of Famer? Am I like downplaying his success? Anyway, what I mean is he was around for a long time because he didn't have this philosophy where he's got to grip the ball as hard as he could and throw it as hard as he could. He just threw it really hard and was a power pitcher. Nolan Ryan was a power pitcher into his 40s. And I think that was a guy, that's just how he was. I mean, yeah, they were built differently back then, but it was really fun to see guys like that. It's fun to see guys come out and throw 100 miles an hour. But you know what's also fun for a guy like me who loves baseball is seeing a guy like Greg Maddux go out there. And I know Greg Maddux is a long time ago, but he's my example for a guy who was a finesse pitcher, right? He's not going to, you know, top out the radar gun, but he's going to get you out because he's going to spot the ball where you're not going to hit it. Or if you do hit it, it's going to go into the ground or you're going to pop it up and he's just going to keep you on your toes all game. And he didn't throw 100 miles an hour. He didn't have to. He figured out where he could throw the ball where you couldn't hit it, except Tony Gwynn, which is the funny quote that's established him. He's like, yeah, nobody, you know, I could get a guy and they wouldn't know what was coming except for that Tony Gwynn. And that was very funny to me. But, you know, I just, we got to bring back the premium starting pitcher, right? Because I don't like when a guy, starting pitcher, you know, they go five innings, they consider that a good day. Teams consider that now like that's a long outing for a starting pitcher. And to me, that's like, whoa, wait a minute. No, like 7-8 innings, that's a long outing for a pitcher. 5 innings means he had some trouble and barely got through it. But now I guess things have changed so much. And you're now in a space where you have to go through so many pitchers because they're all going max effort all the time every day. And you have to worry about these guys just wearing down. I mean, it's like I said, it's fun to watch guys throw 100 miles an hour. It is. I like it. It's really fun. But it's less fun when I know that the clock is ticking on that guy and we're not going to be able to see him throw 100 miles an hour for weeks at a time because he's got elbow soreness, or for a year because he blew out his elbow. He blew out his UCL and he's got to go get Tommy John surgery. And now he's gone for a year or maybe forever. And it's just so, it's a bummer, man. And I like, it's disappointing as a fan to see all these injuries because of the way the game has progressed. Like, I get it. Velocity is important. I understand that. But the side effect of that, the consequence of that is we're going through all these injuries. And now all these people who fans want to see play can't play because of what they're doing. And also, it's not just the pitch clock, because if it was, then nobody would have blown out their elbows before the pitch clock. But they have. They did. And I just feel like it's blaming the pitch clock solely for all these injuries is short-sighted and just ignorant of what's going on, because the game shifted before the pitch clock. The shift to max effort, all velocity, all the time happened before the pitch clock, and guys were getting hurt at a quicker rate before the pitch clock. So now it's like, oh, but this is a new thing, so it's scary and bad. Bah! I don't know. So what I mean to say is, too long didn't listen version. It's not just the pitch clock. Could the pitch clock be contributing to it? Maybe. But really, I think we got to let these guys start focusing on pitching instead of throwing. Like, grip the ball in a different way. Don't engage all your arm muscles with every pitch. And then you'll have a longer career and you'll get to have more fun and make more money. And then you can come on the show and talk to me about baseball. All right? No? Okay. Well, that's it for me for the stuff. I hope you enjoyed my little rant or whatever I said on injuries. It just sucks, man. As a baseball fan, like, guys are getting hurt because of the way the game is. And then to see everybody, not everybody, but to see a lot of people turn around and say, oh, it's got to be this one thing and nothing else, is just dumb. And not a fan of that part. So there we go. I'm also not a fan of the Flyers missing the playoffs, but it is what it is. They had a really bad stretch for like 6 weeks, and that torpedoed their playoff chances. But we still have the captain who is going to tell us all about it. I know it's not the result we wanted. We were hoping to have another week talk about the Flyers in the playoffs and getting all their stuff done, but they did not do that. They didn't make it. However, comma, the captain will be here to wrap it all up, put a nice bow on it, and let us know what's going on and how excited that we should be as fans for the future of the team, because they showed some flashes of a good young team getting ready to take the next step. So let us turn it over one more time this season to the captain. Good sir, let us know what's going on with the Fly Guys and whatever's going on with you. Good sir. The floor is yours. Take it away.
Hey, Flyers fans. Mark back at you again with another Flyers update. Yeah! Woo! Guys, this sadly will be the last update of this season. After this update, I need to bid you adieu. But I am in good spirits. The Flyers showed out this season. My goodness, they went way past everybody's projections. They were in a playoff spot for the majority of this season. Yes, they fell apart down the stretch. Yes, they missed the playoffs. But would they have gotten out of the first round? Probably not. Would it have been nice to see some playoff hockey in Philly again? Absolutely. But I'm excited because the young players on this team really showed up. Travis Konecny taking that next step in his career. The Flyers leading the league in shorthanded goals. They started calling it the power kill. Now their power play was pretty terrible, but the power kill was on fire. Who would have thought at the beginning of the season we would be talking about things like that? They have young defensemen that really showed up. They have young offensive players that are, my goodness, showing skills that I did not think the Flyers could have at this juncture in this year of their rebuild. The Flyers are leaps and bounds past what I thought they would be, and I am ecstatic for that. So looking at what occurred from the whole season, the Flyers have the 12th worst record in the league. Now only the top 11 teams are in the draft lottery for a chance at the first overall pick in this next draft lottery. Now, the Flyers are statistically not able to get there. They can get to second, though. They have a little bit over a 5% chance of getting the second overall pick. The Flyers have had terrible luck with picking people at the second overall pick, but I have all the faith in the world in Danny Briere, in Keith Jones. I feel like these guys have the right attitude, the right head on their shoulders. They're seeing clearly that this, we have to take it slow and steady, but my goodness, this team really outperformed where we thought they would be. So I'm excited for this offseason. I'm excited to see what this team can put together next season and really make a push. I am fully expecting the Flyers to make the playoffs, and not just make the playoffs, but move past at least the first round next season, because these Flyers are really ready to go. They bought in to John Tortorella's system. They are ready for that new era of orange. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to me ramble on this whole season. I hope you got a little bit of enjoyment out of it. I know I was excited. And a big thank you to the big man himself, Mr. Patrick Johnston. My goodness, he is running this podcast, this show, like the genuine true professional that he is. I can only hope to walk in his shadow one of these days. Guys, that's it for me here inside the Melting Pot on Next Level Radio.
And there you have it. Thank you very much, my friend, for all of your hard work this year. You know, again, didn't end how we wanted it, but that happens sometimes. That is what happens. So I remember one time a couple years ago, three updates in a row, and the Flyers didn't win a game for any. Like, they had won the week prior, like once or twice. And then the games he previewed for that update, and then the next two updates, they had not won. So he did three updates in a row, and the Flyers didn't win a game. And I was like, man, that sucks. But he still came in fire, ready to go. Update, yeah! That was really fun. So, Captain, once again, thank you for all your hard work. I do like doing that on the show. I do like having it on the show, even though it means I got to do more work. I think it's very fun, and people seem to enjoy it, even if they're not hockey fans. So thank you very much for doing all your work, and that is it for the show. It's it for me. For him, for this season, we'll have to get him back to do something else, right? Again, the plan was for that to last one season, and then he was going to come on the show and talk about the Flyers, and then I don't know what. But we both had so much fun that we decided to keep it going, and then, you know, we all got busy, and, you know, him being on the show, like, live, probably won't happen for a while. We all have things to do, but getting those little snippets is very fun, and he's very excited to send them over. And I'm very excited to put them together and have fun. I know I forgot to put them all on YouTube. That was a good thought. That was a good project that I thought I was going to be able to do. And time just got away from me. That's what happens sometimes. So there we go. Thank you, my friend. That is all for the show today. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. Again, if you came over from Nick Howard's Twitch stream, Thank you so much. I'll try to be in that chat as often as I can. If you came over from Doug's, ABT Silence, if you came over from his, let me know. You know, I'll be in there hopefully every time if I got nothing else going on, because I love hanging out in there. Doug's a great guy. So there we go. Go check him out, ABT Silence on Twitch. Go check out Nick Howard, Nick Howard N7 on Twitch. Go say hello. Tell him I sent you, and he might be excited about that. I don't know. But there we go. Did we do everything? Did we handle? Did we handle all the? You know, Amazon, stop sending me these text messages, man. Just deliver the package, put it in the door, and leave me alone. All right, anyway, we're not going to read any more text messages on the show. We're good. We're good. Thank you very much. TheMeltingPath.com is where you find all of my stuff. The Patreon, sign up for that. The newsletter, sign up for that. Contact me over there. Leave a voicemail with SpeakPipe or call me. 209. Call me. 209-867-7638. Leave a voicemail with your comments, questions, concerns, and observations. And you can also text me at that number as well. So there we go. We're good, right? I hope so. Here we go. G-Love and Special Sauce. With Cold Beverage, they'll play us out as they always do. Philadelphonic.com for more from them. That is all. Thank you very much. This has been a Nate Boylan production. So until next time, my friends, have fun. Be safe. Thank a veteran. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Get vaccinated and boosted when you can. And of course, don't do anything I wouldn't do. We're good. Yes. Break. Do we need to do that at the end of the show? I don't know. But that's fun. Right? Yes. Thumbs up in chat. Give me a W in chat and we'll have fun. I don't know. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. I love each and every one of you. I'll talk to you soon. You've been inside the Melting Pat on the Next Level Network. Go crap open a cold one.
Yo, could I get a cold beverage? I need some leverage. A sweaty ass as a lemonade would be nice. Stop a spice from the top to a BK. Got a bottle of drinks, but girls got the bait on a phone for G. I got some icing. If you like a taste of tea, then come along with me. Summertime is steaming, don't give me no bugs. Glass some ice and a dash of from the martini time. Yeah, yeah, feeling golden. Bring your own beverage. It's me, so it's cold. I like cold beverage, yeah. From the fountain, real good sounding. Chocolate egg cream, yo, on cherry grounding. Quarter chill bar, Marshalls and my ride. Wallows to the right, they got beverages inside of me. A hot coffee, then fill it up with ice. Watermelon, it's like it's rain. Please fix me a large slice. Summertime is cool, the heat is getting old. Yeah, have a beverage, drink so it's cold. Cold, 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 cold.
Is something from the bar?
Yeah, I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. Cause I'm feeling kinda boring. Stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge. Stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge, stick it in the fridge. Go girl, work the cold one. Go girl, work the cold one. What? Go girl, work the cold one. Go girl, work the cold one. Yo, when I'm fishing, let's keep one thing clear. The bait's over there, the brew's right here. 2 6-packs in a big bag of ice. Didn't even catch a bite, but the brew tastes nice. Back to the bar. So every jack of Reese and a collider. Need a whole lot of them full drinks to catch me a buzz. I must tell you, I'm the Kool-Aid kid. When you serve my drink, please stick it in the fridge. Cause I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah. I'm kinda thirsty. I like cold beverage, yeah. I like cold beverage, yeah.